are listening to an unpopular podcast.
Welcome to another sitting of the Thing Committee, Australia's definitive authority on things. Introducing your hosts, Josh Withers and Steve Malk.
Welcome to another edition of the Thing Committee. This is Josh Withers, Steve Malk.
Hello.
We are the only committee not shut down by the Abbott government, which is really good. I just thank you for your support, Mr. Abbott. Of course, today we're discussing things. We are Australia's most definitive authority on things. As always, you can let us know a thing to be decided at the website thingcommittee.com. And as always, as well, we have guests with us today.
It's important. Guests are fun because the Steve and Josh show is not that fun.
Well, yeah, the survey says it's not that bad, but you know, don't take ratings for their worth, Malk.
Wait, my world's exploding right now.
McNevin, hello.
Yay. Yeah, hello, Josh. Hello, Steve.
What hasn't been said about McNevin, Josh?
I've got a list, but I wasn't going to bring it out.
He's got a third leg. He was once the Prince of Borneo.
Once, but then I got out because I sent someone an email saying, you know, I have a fortune to get out of Borneo, and luckily they were able to help me.
That explains your whole exodus to Mulvania.
That's right. Yep. Keep some of the money in their bank account, which was very helpful to me at the time. So,
and I'm that guy.
It's Justin me. Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen.
I was the one who got the email, and I thought, oh, he seems quite sweet. And nice. I reckon I can help him out. Here he is.
Been friends ever since.
Yeah.
Who says the internet doesn't bring people together?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm all for it. I'm helping heaps of people out. That's what I do. That's what I call Thursday.
It's kind of like coming to America. Yes. In Hamo's story. Except yeah. It's Borneo and Hamo was already here. And
yeah. Very white bread. Yeah.
But apart yeah. from that, very similar.
I'm looking forward yeah. to Sony Pictures picking this up. It's going to yeah. be a hit.
Coming to Australia.
Coming to Australia.
The gritty reboot, don't. We're not going to yeah. go down that path.
Maybe they'll get Vanilla Ice to play me.
Oh, yes!
Like in a gritty reboot, kind of like Sylvester Stallone in Copland.
Yes!
This will be... he'll play me in this movie.
Well, it's good. He's not doing much. He's renovating homes.
Yeah, right.
That's all he's doing.
Yeah, this is going to be big. Like, this is going to give him Eminem cred.
Yeah. Well, Eminem would technically have to be the Arsenio Hall character.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
You bring those two together, sparks are going to fly.
Wow, that would be pretty awesome. Is Vanilla Ice renovating homes?
Yeah, Vanilla Ice, his life now is hosting a reality show in the US where he renovates homes.
Just so you know, Malt, this is the first time anyone on the planet Earth has heard about this.
Are you serious?
Well, it's probably on TV, but I'm sure no one's watching. I'm assuming this is when everyone found out.
It's like, up there with like Steven Seagal is a cop.
Years from now, people will say, you know, I first heard about that Vanilla Ice show. I love it. First heard about it from Malk on the Think Committee podcast.
Look, I'm a lover. I'm a giver. That's the way it is.
I reckon Vanilla Ice sounds like a horrific new drug the kids are taking. And maybe what they do is they pop a couple of Vanilla Ices. Mm. And then suddenly they're tripping out and they think they build homes.
it's almost like the vanilla Coke of ice.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a different flavor. And like, I'm going to try because I like new things, but it's shit.
Yeah. Like my fantasies just aren't that much better. Like, you know, yeah, I end up playing a lot of amateur football.
That's right. That's right. The kids that are out there taking the Sir Mix-a-Lots, they're only sort of up for about a minute, and then it's just a really big downer.
Oh,
you know,
terrific.
Every year I can count the dip, like the definitive, the worst point of my year is when I accidentally buy Vanilla Coke. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
No.
Vanilla Coke is a blessing from the Coca-Cola company gods.
It's all uphill from here.
I'm quite into the Vanilla Coke.
Mm.
Like, I don't drink that much Coke. I'd rather snort it, but I... just a little joke, wordplay, kids.
and a sponsorship opportunity.
If you do have Coke for sale, 1-800-HAMO-TIME.
Yes, let's get this party on the road.
600 ml bottles only, thank you.
But if I do drink... if I do have a Coke, I quite like the vanilla. It reminds me of brown creaming soda. Yes. What's great about that is when you drink it, you can literally feel it rotting your teeth. It's amazing.
Yeah, the acid in that is hard.
Yeah, you have two a year and, you know, it's like getting a chemical peel on your teeth.
Yeah, you start to look like you're from Alabama.
Exactly. all the band members or... Oh, okay. That's fine.
I'm with you.
No Alabama fans on the ride over here. No. Jesus, tough crowd.
No, tough crowd over here. I used to drink vanilla Coke and rum. That was my thing for a while. They brought out the vanilla Coke, and I thought, you know what? I'll try that with a Bundy, see how that goes.
And it worked? It didn't work?
It did work.
But you've obviously given it up, though, Mick.
Yes. Because I woke up to myself for exactly those reasons Hamo mentioned. I don't think drinking this shit is good for me. Not
all
the Bundy.
Eat my originals.
Not the Bundy or the vanilla Coke.
Yeah, what you want is a sugar rush when you're really drunk. So, when your body's trying to make you pass out because you're about to cause damage, the sugar's fighting back and you're like, no, I don't need to sleep.
That sugar rush is handy when you're punching on with your brother.
The energy fuels the anger.
Mm. Yeah, when you're kicking the shit out of a pasty.
Mid-battle, it's like, just need that second wind. There it is.
Yeah, man. The worst thing would have been ordering it at bars because they don't normally have vanilla Cokes. Excuse me, I'll have a vodka and snowdrop.
Can only get that with our kids' meal.
Do you guys
sir?
Have any vanilla Coke? Vanilla.
Oh, there goes my night.
You can never get a vanilla Coke.
Alka Pops.
What a raspberry lemonade.
Fire
engine.
No
one wants. Oh, that. Fire engine.
Florange.
Fire engine.
Oh. See, I just don't know bar culture. I feel really left out now. I'm being isolated from the rest of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
You don't know what a fire engine is. Is a fire engine still a thing?
It would have to be. Someone would drink it. It might be called some other fucking thing.
Yeah, no, it's still a thing. Without a doubt, I've seen someone drink one recently. Without irony.
Did they call it a fire engine? Or
no,
it just
they called it a raspberry lemonade. I said a fire truck, and you could see someone who's obviously ordered a lot just got a bit more joy in his life because now he didn't have to say raspberry lemonade. He just walk up and go,
I'll have the fire engine.
Yeah, well, there's no masculine way to say raspberry lemonade, is there?
But there's none.
So hang on.
I love Prince, but he could not do it.
So a fire engine is a raspberry lemonade. So it's not a raspberry lemonade with a vodka or something. It's just a fire engine.
Maybe that's...
Because I don't know.
Well, that's a vodka fire engine.
That's a flaming fire engine.
All right, watch our bars hidden tonight. Shall we decide some things?
I'm with it.
Was that a thing?
Well,
I thought that was a thing.
That's a good precursor thing.
I want one.
A thing.
It's a thing. Definitely a thing.
I've got a thing to bring to the committee to be decided upon. And just to give you the lead in, my wife recently went to the Beyonce concert. And just if anyone is man or female, they're not going to be misogynist. If you want to go to a Beyonce concert, there's optimum times to purchase tickets. And those optimum times are not 2 days before. The ticket prices apparently goes up quite a lot 2 or 3 days out from the Beyonce concert. So
they were expensive to start with, those tickets.
Yeah, so is that like, buying a Beyonce ticket, is that like catching a plane? So if you book 6 months out, you get the...
Well, I believe so. Well,
booking a front seat on the plane.
Front seat.
Like up the front.
Yeah. So you know, we sold the car, bought Beyonce tickets, and and it was a positive experience for her and her girlfriend to go along to, and it was great. And she gets back the next day, she's all excited because she's Miss Independent, and she's very excited, and she's at work telling everyone that she's seen Beyonce and the world's the best thing ever. And one of her customers at work, she works in a makeup place, and the customer says, "Oh, Beyonce's in the Illuminati. Can't believe you went."
What?
And questions, you know, why should we go? And then the girl, because today, not only have we got the internet at our fingertips, we've also got, if we want to prepare resources, so say screenshots, photos, video, audio, we can have that at our fingertips on our iPhone. So this girl's got a prepared, almost like a message.
A dossier.
A dossier, of Illuminati proof, photos. They do hand signals. There's the all seeing eye. There's different logos. There's goat's heads and the bras. And
she's got like a PowerPoint presentation.
She did.
Beyonce's Illuminati status.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you seen the light? Here it is in my presentation.
Yeah.
Beyonce's in the Illuminati.
And look, my wife is a beautiful, intelligent person, but she's deviated off that track just slightly for a moment. Because this girl's got to believe in that the Illuminati is a thing. And I wanted to bring that to the committee and just find out. Because I don't believe it is.
Are we still recording?
Yeah.
What happens?
This thing shuts down mid-podcast, then the Illuminati is definitely a thing.
If you only get a half of this podcast, they've got to us.
Right now, somewhere, a bell is going off and people are like, fucking Brisbane, Queensland, milk, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, there's an albino racing towards us.
We're about to get droned.
Why is Tom Cruise at the front door?
What a lot of shit.
I just want to get back to the bit where your wife has a girlfriend.
We've got a very open relationship.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's very healthy.
Fucking hell. And Beyonce tickets.
Congratulations. So Justin, you've been fairly quiet. Are you in the Illuminati? Yes or no?
No, I was honestly thinking about your wife and your girlfriend. That wasn't a joke. That was a fact that accidentally blurted out.
The laughing is harder and longer because... But Josh... Well, obviously, Josh knows his wife. I know his wife. That would not even enter her sphere of... Like, it's not always, even a joke.
It's always the ones you least expect.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, I remember when hope. I was in college.
Yeah, you definitely hope. You don't want it to be the one that you expected because you just go, well, why'd it take you so long? Yeah, but when you least expect it, you go, holy shit, yeah, I've got a new story.
The surprise bisexual partner is a winner.
Yes.
Well, mostly.
You know, except when it isn't.
Well, yeah, except when you know, your partner, male partner, if you're a female, talks you into having a threesome, and then he gets his mate to come along that you didn't expect he would invite, and they go at it, leaving you out of it, and then it ends with him punching you in the face and him getting arrested.
Which, unfortunately, isn't a real-life story from Malk's life. It's actually from the Daily Mercury article in
Stay classy, Queensland. Mackay.
Yeah, go Mackay. But the Illuminati, I feel like we've deviated off it. Are all of you guys in the Illuminati? No, I'm not. And we've just deviated off the conversation.
What a load of shit. Seriously.
I don't know. Like, no one wants to talk about it. Are you guys in the Illuminati?
I think the Fess Illuminati up. Is real. They're not actually living up to their obligation. Like, this, aren't they supposed to be creating some sort of new world order and... Like,
apparently Barack.
We could do with it.
Barack is at the forefront of that, apparently.
Really? Yeah. He's Illuminati.
Yeah.
Who else? Totally. Tell us who else is in the Illuminati.
Jay-Z. Jay-Z's in the Illuminati.
So three African-American people are in the Illuminati. This is sounding very... It's suspect to start with, right?
No, but the good thing about the Illuminati is that they're terrible right-wing capitalists who are trying to control the world, but within their own ranks, they're quite progressive.
Yeah. They're very inclusive.
You know? So, you know, like Hitler was a vegetarian. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's swings and roundabouts for these stories.
There's gay marriage in the Illuminati. They're cool with that.
They're cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just not freedom.
Beyonce is one of those surprise bisexuals. I mean, if we're just going to defame her entirely, let's do it properly, right? So she, one night, hey, Jay-Z, I'm going out with my girlfriend to see...
All of them.
Yeah.
Whatever she wants.
Pretty much.
She's fucking Beyonce.
Is the Illuminati anti-Jew or are they Jew?
Well, from what I've done a little bit of research by what I...
I've done a little bit of research. Now who's and suddenly the door's going to bust open and I'm going to be caught in a spray of bullets as an innocent bystander.
I never met him!
Apparently it was started in Germany in the 1700s. Now, I don't know how anti-Jew some sections of the German subculture were in the 1700s, so we're 200 years ahead of the World War. But it was started in Germany, so that was the starting place. That was the home.
The 1700s home. Was a notoriously racist time, though.
Jews were getting persecuted in the 1700s.
I've got no idea. Were they? I'm
sure the Jewish would tell us that they've been persecuted their entire lives.
Isn't that what the part of those southern white, you know, the damn Jew and the Illuminati are trying to control everything. Is that what they say?
I think so. Isn't that what Westboro Baptist Church is about?
They're anti-Illuminati.
They're just anti-everything. Mm. But certainly they would blame the Illuminati as...
Are the gays the Illuminati?
Wow.
Well,
that explains...
As I said, they're quite progressive.
It explains how well organized they are and that they look fabulous.
Yeah.
Check Beyonce. Check Jay-Z. Barack's never looked bad. Check.
I think we need a few more names.
Yeah.
Like,
it's got to get deeper
Barack,
than that.
Barack, Beyonce and Jay-Z isn't quite
Oprah.
Enough.
Oprah has to be in it then. If that's where we're at.
I reckon
Siri,
less.
Who's in the Illuminati?
That's worked really well.
Siri.
Let me check on that. Okay, I found this on the web.
Okay, who are the Illuminati? Oh, at jesus-is-savior.com, the definitive
reputable
on who's in the Illuminati. Apparently the royal family is.
Ooh.
We're busting this shit wide open.
Fucking corgis.
Oh, holy shit, this thing's just got real. Many of the Illuminati, apparently, are homosexuals and pedophiles. Because that makes them much easier to blackmail.
Oh, God.
George W. Bush is just a small fish in the global empire of darkness. But his father, George H. Bush, is a higher up on the food chain. Does anyone know who Alistair? Alistair? It's like Alistair spelled really weird. Crowley? Alistair Crowley?
Alistair Crowley.
Yeah, Alistair, is it?
Yeah.
The world's most wicked man.
Yes.
And he ate the feces of women.
Yeah.
During a
tough initiation. Like, you know, I'd think twice, to be honest. I'd be like,
he's taken bronzing really... to a whole new level.
Yeah. I've been training my whole life for this, but you guys have thrown a curveball. I don't know if I want to hit.
That's quite the initiation rite, isn't it?
Yeah. That would be the moment where I realised that I was so glad that I'd learned how to moonwalk, because I would just slowly moonwalk out of there at such an imperceptible rate. It would be like I was there and then gone.
You guys are going to have no
idea. Hammo's much smaller than I remember. Have you lost weight, Hammo?
Hammo!
Oh, my God. Hang on. This is going to blow your mind.
Oh, yep,
the CIA, the FBI, and the Equator are all in the Illuminati.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's all falling into place.
You know what I would love is if the Illuminati were revealed and they ripped the mask off the head leader and it was Corey Feldman.
Oh,
imagine
yes.
this whole time Corey Feldman was the head of the Illuminati.
Be beautiful. Yeah.
Replaced Elvis.
It would explain the black hair and the brooding look that he seems to have maintained since teenagerhood.
Yeah, it would be phenomenal. It would be like that ending would be held up there with the end of The Prisoner. That's people would be debating what the fuck did that mean for ages. I'd go into hiding. People would be so angry at me.
I postulate that every celebrity that comes out for the Melbourne Cup, they're in the Illuminati.
No doubt.
Have to be.
Yeah, half the horses.
Definitely.
Definitely in Illuminati.
The horse that got put down at the Melbourne Cup, not in the Illuminati, and that's why. They were going to expose a lot of it.
Fuck, man.
We've gone deep.
When I was doing breakfast radio, they had an election, and regional breakfast radio, and we thought...
The best kind.
Whatever, we'll just get some... we'll get the candidates on, and you have to give... If you give one person an interview, you've got to
equal time.
You've got to open the floor to everyone, otherwise you're breaking the law, right? Broadcast laws. So we had this guy in from the Liberal Democrats, the National, like one of those splinter election groups.
The CEC, the Citizen Electoral Council, they're great.
The terrible fuckwits party.
He was like, was 75 if he was a day. He was this old angry dude, and he just sat down and he just started. We go, so what are you? Plan, you know, what is your party bringing to the table? And this guy goes, the first thing he said was, well, the international bankers and the Jews are ruining this country, and that's
that is my jaw hitting the floor.
Wow.
So that's code for Illuminati, isn't it? He's anti-Illuminati.
That's
obviously why you cut him off.
Yeah, well,
you dumped him, didn't you?
You got to give him his son.
How much of the vote did he get?
Like, you know, 0.5% or something.
But still, votes.
He's well on his way to being Clive Palmer.
That's still money. You get a dollar for every vote, or you get money for all the votes. So.
No, only if you get more than 2%, you get a dollar or $2.
Oh, really?
Every vote. Yeah.
That makes me want to go into politics.
It's a good money earner.
I could just make so much.
If you can be in the middle ground where like you get above 2% but below the majority, just always hovering
5.7%.
The Pauline Hanson zone.
Yeah, the Pauline Hanson zone is what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
The bit where I get just enough votes that I make enough money to cover my costs and live off until the next election.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So you need $400,000 worth of votes, $100,000 a year.
You can make that work.
I'd be comfortable on that.
Yeah.
Just be a perpetual candidate.
Do you have to pay tax on your money?
I don't think so.
Surely not.
I don't
know. Hang on, it's about politics, right? Hell no. Yeah. No way you'd be paying tax on something to do with politics.
Because that money all goes to the Liberal and Labor Party as well. They're not going to start taxing their own money.
True.
I would just say no. I'd just turn my musket on them and fire. Get off my property.
I declare this the official kingdom of Hammo.
Yeah, no, it's going to be Hamilton. Because we're living here in Hamilton. Every time you go to the website, you just hear that as the opening. No, no more, just that bit.
Hammo would be the country and Hamilton the capital.
The capital.
Yeah.
right where my heart is.
There's no coins. There's no coins in the country of Hamo. It's because even like the 5 cent pieces are bills, just so you can spray them. Just lay them out.
You can also pay people in high fives.
High fives is currency.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready to be like the mayor of Hamilton, just to be a part of the country of Hamo.
That's great.
Like, paying people in high fives.
The weird thing is that it's very liberal, smaller liberal in its policies. And, you know, there's a lot of vegan food and animals roaming free and a lot of entertainment and theatre, and it's a lot of culture. But the one setback to Hamilton and the country
can't be possible,
Hamo,
not yet.
It just can't stop declaring war against places it can't beat. Probably two a year.
So you're effectively
constantly at war with China, America,
Russia.
Clive Palmer.
It's effectively a hybrid of like North Korea and Tasmania.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's perfect. And we've got propellers, and so we just have to keep floating around so people stop firing at us.
And the weird thing about Hamilton is that it's actually controlled by a secret society of wealthy elite who just manipulate the levers of power.
It's 11 different versions of me because I've cloned myself.
And they're called the Willuminati. Because Will's got to be involved in this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, he's got his own Willuminati. Mine's the Hamonati.
Where are the Hamonati?
Or the Illumo Homo.
It's just a five-piece dancing troupe.
Maybe the Illumo Hamo. That's a splinter group.
The costumes are very nice.
Oh, they're amazing.
I love the formal wear of the country of Hamo.
Yep, a lot of black.
Yep, robes, capes.
That would be the best thing about a secret society, would be designing a costume. Have you seen the Raelians? Have you seen those guys?
No, I know of them. I haven't seen them.
They have got some sweet costumes.
Go get it in Eddie Bag.
Yeah, I'm trying to sign you guys. That's
an awkward way to bring it up, but it's right. Worked.
I've got a pen. I didn't even hear what you said. I'll sign. I mean, I'll do it.
Sweet costumes. Yes. I'll join.
But you have to eat shit.
Female shit. I wouldn't eat anyone's shit. I'm not queer.
Oh, oh no.
Reasonable. I like the argument.
Mix on radio. Being interviewed. So,
welcome to Dubbo FM.
You think the state might have to, what were your words? Eat shit. Not a queer. 0.5% of the vote.
That's right. And now we'd like to cross live to the Minister for Defence of the country of Hamo, Mick Nevin. Mick, what's your take?
Oh, that's the reason. You're just fucking picking fights all the time. I'm too busy having a great time. I'm not really noticing. Everyone hides it from me. I'm a terrible king. I think everything's perfect all the time.
That's right.
No one's starving in Hamo, though. Everyone's fucking eating like a person deserves to eat.
Yeah, they're enjoying life.
They're enjoying life, but just now and again, missiles come towards us and we have to get the propellers going and drive to another country.
Well, what's life without a challenge, you know? If you don't have those challenges, you know, the wind up against the trees, you don't grow as a country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what we can do is we can shapeshift the country so then it just fits into another part of another country's geography.
You know what I'm imagining? What was that? Who's that painter? He used to have a gallery in Surfers Paradise. I think he's seen it in
Ken
Sydney
Duncan?
As well. No.
Is it Ken Duncan?
No, he does.
Ken Duncan.
He does Ken Duncan. With the balloons.
Ken Duncan?
Is it? I don't know if you're joking or if you're serious. Is it with the balloons? With the big hot air balloons and all the paintings.
Ken
like,
Duncan.
I like playing with these guys. Normally it's me against the world, but this is fun.
Hot air balloons.
Nothing. Are you talking about?
He's a famous Australian painter and he does all these paintings of like, so it's the Sydney Opera House on a hot air balloon floating over Paris and shit like that. So like world landmarks on a hot, like have been hot air ballooned up and they're around the world.
Like the sky whale.
Like that, but different. So they've effectively uprooted the Sydney Harbour.
So it's the Sydney Opera House is a balloon?
No, they've put a balloon on top.
Oh, okay. So a balloon picks up a landmark and floats it somewhere else that it's not...
And in every painting there's a naked guy, but that's just a side show.
You're talking about Ken Duncan.
I hope so right now.
I don't know.
He's the landscape. But anyway, that's my idea. He's the balloon guy, right?
What? I don't know. Oh, I have
Dunksy.
No idea.
Yeah, oh, Dunksy.
Mate. Dunker.
It's in his Spencer Tunic phase.
Yeah, he's Dunksy when he does stencils outside.
Dunksy.
He's a Banksy cover artist.
Oh, yes. Have you been Dunksy. Keeping up with? Oh, it's just finished. October was Banksy's tour of New York.
Yeah, yeah.
The stuff that he did was amazing.
Yeah, I think I like the animals or the Muppet animals in the slaughter
meat truck. Yeah, yeah. That was he set up a waterfall scene inside the back of a truck in like Harlem or Brooklyn or something somewhere, and like every day he would post a picture and there you could phone a number and get like the audio background. It was his tour, so you could ring up and listen, and someone would tell you about what this was and what it meant and his thoughts as to why it was happening or why he did it. This beautiful working waterfall and jungle in the back of a truck.
Has anyone seen Banksy? Is he still unrecognized?
Yeah, there was that one photo. His truck broke down and he's on the phone, apparently it's Banksy, but just like all good photos of Bigfoot and all that.
It's grainy.
It's grainy, blurry, from a distance. It
looked like the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
But they did that, and then like 2 days later, he posted a picture of a GPS. And it was like, by the way, whoever put this on the truck, we found it. It's now on, you know, the underside of a delivery vehicle that's running around Jersey. Just like so perfect. All of the gorilla stuff that he did was brilliant. He set up an art store, like a sidewalk thing that was selling his original work on canvas that he'd done one day only. And it was just some old guys hocking it. And it sold like four pieces.
Yeah, well, like $70 each or something.
Yeah, how would you be if you walked up and you bought this thing that looked like a Banksy for 50, 60, 70 bucks?
Yeah.
And you'd got home and then realised it's a real Banksy.
Yeah.
What would that painting be worth?
Fucking heaps based on what he sold all his other work for.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine it'd be worth...
Would it be worth more than a Ken Duncan piece?
A Dunksy?
Dunksy?
Surely not more than a Dunksy.
Can you imagine? Fuck? Nothing costs more than a Dunksy.
Can you imagine when Ken Duncan undergoes his Banksy phase? The Dunksy phase? Dunksy. And he goes like to Auckland and he just goes around taking landscape photos of Maoris in inappropriate positions and projecting them onto like the walls of buildings. You know, and here's like a man and wife having an intimate moment in their backyard just projected onto the wall of the Bank of New Zealand. I think
man, that Dunksy. That'll be
cutting edge.
That'll be Dunksy's Brian Eno Berlin trilogy phase. That's how people look back at that.
So I can only gather that the Illuminati is real and you guys are all part of it, sort of avoided the conversation.
Oh, I hope it's
a thing.
Real.
It's a thing.
It's definitely a thing.
Definitely a thing. Okay.
Definitely a thing.
Done. Deal. Mick, have you got a thing for the committee?
Not yet. I'll come up with something shortly.
Oh, I've got one.
Justin.
Is this a thing? I've been waiting to say that all day. People who kind of claim to be big fans of things when they're not really fans.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, people who kind of I'm thinking of someone specifically who, by the way, if I'm really into something and I meet someone else who's really into that same thing, I think that's great.
Yeah.
But you know how some people find it to be a little bit competitive. Yep. Oh, I'm into it more than you. I'm into it more than you. And I never get into that. So if someone claims to be a big fan, that's something I'm into. I'm stoked. So
it's an affirmation, you know, like I like the XYZ club. But it's not even
affirmation. It's more a case of you just get to talk about it. Mm. And you know that the person you're talking to isn't going to think, fuck, he's still talking about that. So this friend of mine who is a big David Bowie fan, and she talks about how, you know, talks about him constantly, talks about the influence
I know exactly
on the career.
About.
And, you know, it's very much in her DNA. And then so I was really looking forward to talking to her about stuff. And I would bring up things and she wouldn't know what I was talking about. And it wasn't like I was saying, do you know China Girl? Of course. And even if you're not a Bowie fan, you know the song China Girl. But it would be the equivalent of just bringing up something that's kind of like the next rung down.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. How good's the song The Motel? What? You know the Motel off Outside album? No? Whereabouts is it? It's about track six. Oh, no. And then, okay, that's no worries. And then you move on to something else. And that happened like three or four times. And I suddenly felt offended because it's like, what the fuck? You're not a fan. Like, you're a kind of fan, but like, I'm the fucking Uber fan here. And it's not a competition, but I won it. I won it. And that's the main thing. But is that a thing to kind of be, you know, you declare your undying love for something and realistically it's only a quarter of it that you're into?
Do you think she was, or whoever, whatever sex the person is, do you think the person was confused? Like, they you said David Bowie, you know, they heard...
Ken Duncan.
Like, I love him too. Yeah. It's kind of the whole, like, I love you, I love YouTube. You know?
Maybe it was like I said Bowie and she thought I said Dunkey.
Yeah. Right. Easily confused.
It is easily confused.
She's looking at you going, why are you talking about the song Motel? Ken Duncan's a painter.
Yeah.
Possibility. Yeah.
Who painted a motel.
Once.
Being carried by air balloons.
Yeah, in turquoise. It was a horrific mistake and it pretty much ended his career.
Lots of poles holding it up though.
Yeah, exactly. So, is it, but it also, I feel a little bit bad because... you can be a fan of something and it doesn't mean you have to be at the same level.
Yes.
But the way she's talked about it is bigger than me.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, fucking, well, if you love something, like one of the things was she hadn't listened to the latest album that came out, about 6 weeks after it came out. And she says, I just haven't had time. I've been working on my show for the festival. It's like, I was in a fucking war zone holding my iPhone up, downloading that fucking album. That's how committed I was. I was in Afghanistan.
High-quality Kandahar downloading.
Bombs going off. Hammo's got his earplugs in. Thanks for coming back, Dad. It was fucking great.
That was just your special place, though. That's what that one
needed. Yeah, I was walking through the mines. Everyone screaming, get down.
Get out, like, of that
mine. I've got a visual of you bronzed up, but, you know, with the...
without any context for anyone else, they're thinking, why are you imagining him with the tan? Why not?
We'll just leave that one there.
I see that a lot with television shows where I... And I don't profess to be a fan of all of television. I see it and I understand the canon, but there are only a few things that I could zero in and say I am fanatical about these things or these shows or these writers or things. Particularly came to light with Breaking Bad finishing this year, where an amount of people got on board for just the last season or the last bit. And, you know, you're having conversations with them about, did you see the Breaking Bad finale? Yes. Great opener and an easy middle ground for people to sort of collect on and we can have a conversation. And you start to weed out the people who just kind of wait in a bit and the people who are, you know, the 5 and 6 season fans. They've been in the whole thing. And then there's the people, and it was really good. I liked when, Walt in the car with the snow. It really reminded me of that thing that happened in the first season. What?
Yeah.
Are you just kind of connecting something that didn't exist to invest yourself into the fanaticism, or did I miss something?
Yeah.
Because I try to be very polite and I start to sort of self-doubt and think, well, what the fuck? I'm racing through season one. No, that wasn't, it's something. And I had to say, what are you talking about? How have you made this connection? Oh, maybe it was season two. Right, there's your problem. You're then going to say, this has got this massive connection across the season, does this? And if you think, oh, no, maybe it was for something from the second season, you're making shit up.
Yeah.
And I can't abide people. I'm happy for people to say, I don't know. I'm happy for people to come and say, I really like Breaking Bad, but I only saw bits, or, you know, it was in and out or something. I didn't like it. Fine, have your opinion. But to say that you're in and you're a fan, but to be making stuff up to just engage in that conversation or involve yourself, ingratiate, be the bigger fan.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah, it's annoying.
Can we take a step aside for a second? Have both of you guys seen Breaking Bad? You're in?
Yep.
You're in Breaking Bad Land? You finished?
Yep.
Yeah. Hamo's definitely finished it. Yeah. I've heard his rants on it.
So final episode, snow on the windscreen. Have you heard the theory? It's just a fan theory. So, you know.
Hang on. Is this the Norm MacDonald theory?
I don't know whose theory it is. But just the theory is that from that moment on, Because the police, you see the police lights, from that moment on, it's all a dream.
Yeah.
And in reality, he actually gets arrested.
Yeah, that's whatever. The Norm Macdonald theory, and that's bullshit.
No, but this will blow your mind. I was talking to Richard Fadler yesterday, Clang, and Fadler was telling me that someone he works with became good friends with one of the head writers for Breaking Bad, and that in a very early draft, that's exactly what happened. He died in the car,
the snow.
And then the last of it was almost, you know,
his fade to black.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's his fantasy playing out.
Wow.
It's such a tough sell to do, and then it was all a dream because you know, one of my pet peeves is people who watched the Lost finale and hated it, and that bit I'm fine with, but I'm honestly saying at about a 99% strike rate they get the ending wrong. Oh, so they were dead all along? No, but they were all dead at the end. No, but that's not what happened. And then you explain to them, did you watch the whole season? Yeah. And it's like, nah, this all happened. And then that, and that explains this. And it's like, they look at you going, what are you talking about? What were you doing while you were watching it? It's all there. So it always drives me mental when they, if you don't like it, that's fine. But don't like it for the right reason. You know?
Yeah, and I'm with you. Look, I enjoyed.
That's racism.
It's racism.
Do you know what I mean?
And misogyny.
Like, don't hate someone because they're black. Hate them because they're a fuckhead.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what skin colour they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Don't say Asian drivers are shit. Say that drivers are shit.
Drivers are shit. Yeah. Just trying to help the world out.
That's good. That's good. Mickey, are you a big fan of something? Like, what's your thing that you... number one like on Facebook?
You know what? If I had to pick a thing, I would say Lord of the Rings.
Cool.
But,
and surprisingly topical in 2013.
Yeah. I'm just sort of a general wash over many things rather than trying to dig too deeply into one thing. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick something, it would be Lord of the Rings. If I'd gone on Einstein Factory, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You're not going to go out and cosplay as, like, Legolas or anything?
No.
So you're not going to Supernova this weekend?
No. No. There's no Lord of the Rings. Oh, no, Dominic Monaghan's there.
No, they've got the... they've got from The Hobbit, they've got the two little people that aren't little.
two
Hobbits. Well, no, so this is the thing, because we had them in studio yesterday. In the movie, they play...
Elves.
Hobbits.
Dwarves.
Hobbits.
So I'm not in the...
Are you talking
universe.
About The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings now?
They're in the Hobbit, they play dwarves.
Yeah, dwarves. But they're not dwarves.
So they're very tall, normal humans.
Yeah, they're normal humans, and they put fat suits on them and camera angles and shit. But yeah, so they're at Supernova.
Yeah, right.
FYI.
I got angry. When I went to watch Lord of the Rings at the cinema on the, you know, the first day I was out and stuff, the first Lord of the Rings, and then some lady took my... I went to get a choc top because I got in early to get a good seat and then had the time of, right, if I go and get my choc top now, I'll be back in time for the start, because you don't want to be sitting there for 15 minutes while your choc top melts.
Yeah.
And you don't want to start your choc top before the film starts.
And I had my drink in my drink
holder.
I
try to finish it before I get to the seat.
I had my drink in my drink holder and I took off. And then I got back and some lady had sat in the seat next to me and my wife was in that other seat next to me and she'd moved my drink over to the other side, right? And I'm like, what are you doing moving my drink? And she stood up and she points down and counts the seats to me points down and counts the seats to her. And she goes, I believe that's my drink holder. And I'm like, what the hell? It doesn't make any difference. I could count from that way and it's mine. Mine was there first. Look, don't worry about it. Like, this is... This is a massive moment in my life, and I'm not going to spoil it with you fighting over a drink holder, right?
I don't want to play psychiatrist. I feel it was ruined.
Then all through the movie, she talked and stuff. She goes, I don't believe he could do that.
Oh,
I don't
believe. And she wouldn't have made the first half hour with me. I would have punched her in the face.
And I'm like, just going, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then right at the end, when Boromir is getting killed by the orcs, she's just done this big huff and gone, oh
my God.
As if he wouldn't be dead by now. And I've just gone, excuse me, he's a prince of the Dunedin. He's like not an ordinary man. Are you stupid? Like, as if a few
warrior.
Arrows would kill a prince of the Dunedin. Fuck, whatever. Like.
I love how nerdy you've just outed yourself to that be. That great. Is awesome.
But still with a slight hint of, I'll fuck you up with a crowbar.
That's right.
That is great. You should do that on stage. I reckon that's really funny.
Yeah. Then...
No, I reckon that's properly, like, you know, performing it in front of people. The attention to detail is what makes it hilarious.
Yeah, the counting of the cup holders.
Yeah. How?
Oh, yeah, but knowing that he's the prince of the whatever lavas.
Yeah, you would not know that if you weren't a fan.
No.
I love the juxtaposition of like looking at like fine art and being the kind of the worst person to be talking about it. Fucking look at that. That is fucking amazing, isn't it?
Shazza? What,
no, look at those, at that. Look at those fucking letters. They are fucking perfectly formed. It says something about the human fucking condition and it makes me feel fucking great about life. And sometimes you can feel cunted, but this is fucking great. I love it.
Have you guys been to MoNA in Hobart? The is a museum of new, old and new
old
art.
And new art.
Yeah,
no, no, I have not.
There's because I'm in no way an art fancier, but yeah, I don't mind looking at shit. I'm Bazza and Shazza.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I in no way can I judge, and so I won't. I'm just like, you know, that's you put some shit there, and that's great. I didn't put any shit anywhere near this. You're doing pretty good. And you're in a MoNA building, which is apparently a really great escapade. But in MoNA, there's a there's actually a mechanical, I don't know if you, it's mechanical, electronic, or a man-made digestive system.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So it would actually be as long as this unit we're in, this room.
Simply because of the intestine length.
Yeah, so big, big drums and fucking, it's gurgling and it farts and it shits and it.
So it's actually digesting things.
It. Yeah, so they put food in and the local chefs make food for it. And so today, Chef Josh has made a barbecue sandwich. And yeah, it's amazing.
Barbecue sandwich sounds all right.
Yeah, wait for that to come out a day later.
But clarify, is it a Heinz barbecue sandwich or is it like a ready...
No, I'll go Heinz.
Yeah, yeah. None of that shit. It's not a shit
sandwich. Oh, no, there was
in Tassie, it's a food capital. They'd be making their own barbecue.
Down there in Hamo Town, it's...
there's a brand of barbecue on Saturday. Sauce that I haven't been able to find for years. And I think the brand was Bar B, letter BQ.
All right.
Oh yeah, it had like the pretend basket at the bottom.
Yeah.
No, it had not the embossed. That's the eater. Basket. That's the eater barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's the one that Ken Duncan made.
Yeah, that's some good shit right there. This stuff came in a glass bottle. Can only ever buy it in a big bottle, but it had a. This is going to sound horrible. A particular tang of apple that I just really loved. That was, if I had to pick a barbecue sauce, that was my pick.
Yeah, the one with the tang of apple.
Yeah, yeah. Because all barbecues have got all sorts of shit in it.
That sounds like a great 80s band, doesn't it?
A tang of apple.
Yeah. Can we go and see Tang of Apple tonight? Who wants to go with me, guys?
Yeah. I don't like their music very much, but the bass player's hot.
I was actually picturing myself not as a gay man then, but as one of the women from Human League. So I don't want anyone to think I was being camp then. I was trying to be a woman.
Yeah,
and the brunette, by the way. I was a brunette in Human League. I was imagining myself as then.
See that.
Yeah.
With glasses and the two-day growth.
Yeah. I look exactly like her.
To come back to being a massive fan of things, I'm going to go into bat for your friend that's a Bowie fan, allegedly. An alleged Bowie fan.
Wow, we are aspersions cast.
Well, you know... Trying to find things to connect with people today is hard. This is the end of the sitcom, by the way. Yeah,
the moral part of the story.
I just want to set the scene. Like the chandelier that I'd spent the episode putting up has collapsed on the glass top coffee table that Malk, you saved up all your money to buy. It's something you've been looking for a long time. The kitchen has run out of power halfway through you cooking a turkey mick that you have been working on all week, and you've just been so excited. And just
started
when it's
on
about
the stuffing 4 days
this
ago.
Is our Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, just as about to
tang
just
of apple
get there.
Butter, sauce.
Yeah. Just as it's about, so we're all sitting around just really fucking depressed and the credits are about to go up and then you walk in and you give us this.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the question?
Well, being a boy, I can't remember the question. Yeah, is it a thing? Well, yeah, sometimes it's hard for people to connect and you're like, I hear that Justin's a Bowie fan. I just want to connect with him on a deeper level than, how you doing? Good? Good? Hello? Good? and I want to connect with them a little bit deeper. And I'm gonna go in about for Bowie. I'm like, oh fuck, he's asking questions now. Shit, I was just gonna say I was a Bowie fan.
Yeah, but the problem with that scenario is I'm the one asking the questions because they've said that they're
a massive Bowie fan.
So it's not I'm the person trying to make the connection. They're the ones telling it to the rest of the world, and I just always sit back and go, oh cool. And then you talk to them and you go, you don't know anywhere near as much.
Maybe
as
you can try and have more better. Like some more shallow relationships. So try not to go too deep with people.
Wow. Look, when you find people of your tribe, when you find your kindred spirits.
Sure. Yeah, all I'm saying is I'm the fucking king of that tribe. That's all I'm saying.
I got my Bowie underwear on.
So we've got the king of fucking Bowie over here. We've got the king of bloody the Dunedin over here.
I'm like fucking Rocky. I don't really want to fight. And then I get the taste for getting so close. And I just dominate fuckers forever.
I hear the pain because I love fans. I love people who are passionate about things that are willing to express them. And we see it at things like Supernova where, you know, cosplayers go to that length of making or buying or dressing up, do whatever they do to be, you know, I am She-Ra. I am a Gamorrean guard.
And more power to them, you know.
The guy from Halo. Look, knock yourselves out. That's awesome that they're that keen and that connected that they found their tribe and they want to be a part of it. But there's nothing worse than uncovering someone who you thought was part of the tribe that's kind of infiltrating.
See, yeah. I reckon if you were to walk down to the RNA showgrounds right now, 49% of the people in that building are just like tagging along. They just want to be a part of something, I reckon.
Yeah. No,
yeah, but
I agree.
Can tell because the silver parts of their costume is just alfoil over cardboard.
Yeah, well, someone's just turned up wearing some Groucho Marx glasses.
Yeah. That's right. Who are you?
Groucho Marx, you idiot. Like, there's someone dressed as an elf and someone else dressed as Garfield and someone else dressed as Bill Murray in Zombieland just looking at this person with the Groucho Marx glasses going, you're not fucking one of us.
You're not really trying.
This is bullshit.
In fact, that's just a journalist from Channel 9.
Oh, let's kill them.
Stab them through the heart.
Thing?
They don't have a heart.
That's right.
I still don't have a thing yet.
When they joined the network, it got taken out.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a thing, Josh, if
throw
I may.
Yeah, yeah.
We all have friends like this. We all have friends who are into things. It kind of is an extension of your thing, Hammo. Where
is that a thing?
Yeah, it's not a thing. It's just an extension of his
thing. All right, I'm annexing his thing. People that get into stuff that then think that they're so good that they can make a life job out of it. I particularly want to bring up the rise of the photographer, F-A-U-X-tographer.
Yeah.
So this is the friend who maybe likes taking pictures that then thinks, you know what, if I buy the $4,000 camera, I could do weddings. I could take photos of your family for you.
Now,
there are very few people that actually have a good eye that can do a really good job, whether they're donkey or, you know, whoever.
Oh, donkey.
Making the shot and doing and that's cool, right? And you would say, I hesitate to bring it up, Josh, given that you're a wedding celebrant.
Am I?
But you would see your fair share of these photographers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is photography a thing? How are we allowing it to be a thing?
Because people are cheap, you know. And it's not bad to be cheap. You just prioritize things. You know, it's funny, like, because I'm an expensive celebrant compared to some. I'm expensive. And often when they hire me,
if you like it, you better put a ring on it. Your motto.
He's actually really cheap, but yeah, I like to bring it up.
Yeah.
So usually people that hire me have spruced up on a few other things. I mean, we've got the awesome photographer and we've got a fancy venue and we've got a, you know. But I've found some people value a celebrant more than they value a photographer. And I'm like, I'm just saying random words I think are pretty cool.
Yep.
And I try to be, you know, exciting and not shit, you know, being unshit is my thing. But I see a lot of the, so how do we say photographers?
Photographers.
Yeah, well, the same thing. So I've seen a lot of Uncle Bobs. Uncle Bob's all over the place taking photos.
I'm all for Uncle Bob doing it, though.
No, but Uncle Bob is... Uncle Bob's
official wedding photographer.
Uncle Bob's a bit of a fucking pain in the ass, though.
Yeah.
The problem with Uncle Bob is he gets blind later on.
Now, Mick, you...
makes a prick of himself. Yeah. He does that at every wedding. It's just Uncle Bob.
But then let's go beyond that, where it's not Uncle Bob anymore, but instead it's a friend that's not really close to us, but maybe someone in our wedding party knows this person. They're really good at photography.
They've just bought an SLR.
Yeah, digital SLR. Their first one. They're doing things. We want them to come and that. You know, they're only charging us $500, and they'll give us the original. You know, all of the camera stuffs.
Yep.
So that we get our stuff, and they're shit.
Man, you get what you pay for. You know.
It's yeah, like- but weddings adds a zero to everything. Like, you go and say, I want to go and speak to a proper photographer that's doing a good job. And they might say, look, to do a photo of just you two guys and we'll do some stuff, that might cost you $2,500. I own the negatives, but I'll sell you these pictures. And then you say, I'd like you for my wedding. All of a sudden, that's $25,000. It's ludicrous.
When I celebrate non-weddings, it's only $73. But add a zero on for a real wedding.
You've got, just ignore him, you've had to get your photo, Mick, for posters and those sorts of things.
Yep.
Do you use your friendly local photographer? Do you get a friend with an iPhone or do you pony up the cash?
In the past, I have used my cousin, who's a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a photographer?
Yeah, he lectures photography at uni and has worked at the AIS. And
so he's got some cred, right?
Yeah, he's an actual photographer.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, and I've also paid professionals for photos.
He's got a little hat that says press on it.
What about you? How do you pay real people to do real things for you?
Oh. Never get an amateur hooker. Make that mistake once, don't you, boys?
Yeah, well, brought something extra to the table.
It extends to other industries, not just photography, though. Yeah, for example, there's the faux journalist, or as many people call them, blogger.
Don't start this argument. Wow. Don't go there.
Oh, no, wow. I'm just... many journalists would have the same complaints. I write for something that gets printed onto paper.
Yeah. Look, I'll take it like this. I guess because so many people think I've got an iPhone and someone's complimented me on my photography that I can then... I can make some money out of it. I've got a
lot of Instagram followers. I think it's time I...
Yeah, yeah.
Turn this hobby professional.
Maybe you should, Mick. That sounds great.
Yeah. You could be the world's first...
Example? I said that very confidently.
Yeah.
The world's first wedding Instagrammer.
Yes.
Oh.
Whole new avenue.
That's a good idea.
That's copyright me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have that. Yeah. That's good.
Come on, bitches.
That is good.
I have a friend who I've
You're going to be able to get a gold suit out of that.
I hope so. That's a lot of gold material, though. Fuck.
Yeah, just make it, like, thin. So it's, you know, it's summer wear.
Yeah, I don't shrink.
Someone wants to wear gold suits. It's a mankini.
You look like a shiny Don Johnson
with the sleeves pushed up and everything.
Yeah.
I've got
pastel
to do
gold. It's a new color I've invented.
Pastel gold.
Yeah, that's going to be my stripper name. Pastel gold.
Ladies, he's single. I have a friend who I'm in a band with. Too much IT. And he...
Hang on, is a band that you're with called Bandwidth?
It should be now.
That's what that sounded like.
He is... he's a good photographer in a casual sense.
Yeah.
I like some of the stuff that he's done and I like...
Like he only takes shots in t-shirts and shorts.
He's now started being a, I guess, semi-professional professional photographer.
He's got a Facebook page.
He's got a Facebook page,
yep.
And he's doing weddings. And we're trying to arrange a rehearsal, and he said, I can't do that day. It's the day after a wedding, and I'll be needing to get the photos prepped to get them back to the bride and groom. And I went, they're paying you to take these photos. Have they seen your work? Is that how you got them in, or they just have gone to your cold? Like, he's a good guy, takes good shots. I wouldn't have thought that... Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't have thought that... Mind you, I haven't seen his work in ages, but I wouldn't have thought that people would pay for it. And then you've got the politics of dealing with the situation, right? Yeah, people who've been photographers, professional photographers, know some of the sensitivities. They know how to deal with, in a wedding context, deal with the celebrant or the minister, where I can take shots, where I... at this point, I need to have this shot and I need to everyone not be taking flash photos because it fucks up my shot. And if you want a nice shot of you guys as you kiss... They can all fuck right off.
Here's the thing with 2013. I think we can all relate this to whatever field we want to be in. Comedy, whatever. TV, look at TV. There's kids these days having to go on YouTube. You know, there's comedians that want to be comedians saying funny things on Twitter. I may have done that once or twice in an attempt to try to be funny. But yeah, everyone's trying to have a go. Everyone's like, yeah, you writing TV stuff. Everyone's trying to have a go. How do you have a go? How do you have a go?
That sounds like a Kim Wilde song.
Mm.
I think
that sounds sometimes like, you shouldn't.
That sounds like it should be her comeback single that everyone goes, holy shit, have you heard the new Kim Wilde song? It's like, oh, what is it like? Some kind of remix. Nah, man. Mm. She has pulled out a fucking winner. And then you play it for them and your friend just looks and goes, holy shit, that was amazing.
Yes.
I know. How good would it be? And the new album would be called Wild About Kim Wilde.
Surely she's already done a Wild About.
Wild on Wild.
How could she have missed that?
Wild About Wild on the third track, we have Wilbur Wild playing sax.
And then Richard Wild comes in. Yeah, because that was Richard Wilkins' former name, wasn't it? Richard
Wild. Yeah, well, I'm playing the...
Track five is a cover of Wild Thing.
He's backing vocals.
Yeah.
And there's, of course, there's the remix, second CD remix. It's Wild 21 or whatever the... Remember the Wild compliment?
The Wild Stallions are the backing band.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, fuck, man. Yeah. Oh, that's...
Kim Wilde just having a go.
Yeah.
Having a go.
Yeah, that's one of the bonus songs. I would love to see Kim Wilde come back. She was... I look back at 80s film clips and I love them so much because there's a complete lack of irony. And you watch them and they're fucking great.
So
and
earnest.
It was around that time that everyone said, oh, we can tell stories. And so they start these clips that have these 3 or 4 minute long stories that make no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just gets to the clip. The way you make me feel. Yeah. You know.
Thriller. The whole precursor to Thriller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of that I become a werewolf.
Yeah.
And then he's a zombie in the film clip.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Makes no sense. What's he make up your mind? What are you, Mike? And then he's a demon at the end.
John Landis.
Jesus Christ. How did we not know that Michael Jackson wasn't a good person? It was all in that documentary, Thriller.
People need to not do shit is what I'm saying. People need to try, but not put yourselves out there as a professional when you're kind of not even semi.
No, but you've got to put yourself
out there.
It's
like an erection.
There. Justin, when did you become a qualified, card-carrying, listed... Like, was there... You know, did you graduate? Was there a moment where you got your comedian card and I'm assuming a hat and a bib or something like that?
A bib?
No, yeah, you're getting...
Like with a number?
I haven't gotten anything and now I have a horrible feeling that I have been fooling myself for the last 20 years.
You've been living
maybe
a
things
lie.
Have actually been going really badly, but I'm being so optimistic that I haven't noticed. Just walking around hammer time. And everyone's looking at, what's up with that cunt? Oh, if I can just put him on. Just put him on. It'll just be easier to put him on than not have him on. G'day, guys. Isn't the day looking cheery, my friends? It's a good day for the race. What race? The human race. Ha ha. Oh, fuck. I hate this guy. Oh, he's
horrible. Do you know Hamo's comedian authority number? Oh, no, he hasn't got one.
No, this is we're not passing it on.
He's
I've
so
just been
confident, though.
Yeah. I just blew the roof off with that gig.
Wow.
Look outside.
That,
everyone's left. No one was there.
Time he's been a faux medium.
Yeah. Oh gosh, this sounds so. This could be a horror movie.
this will haunt you.
This could be like a funny horror movie, like the David Lynch kind of horror movie where you're just going, "Oh my god, everyone hated him. How optimistic is he? How optimistic is he?"
So any Adam Sandler film.
Yeah, it'd be more like The Truman Show, where he suddenly starts to see a crack in the veneer where someone kind of gives him a bad look and he's can't even work out what that was.
Yeah.
I think that guy over there, I think he just had a stroke. Just had a stroke. Why haven't he looked like that at me? Oh, no, maybe you said something. What do
it's
you mean?
It's not possible.
Well, I don't even understand what you're talking about. It's a nightmare. Oh, we should make it. Don't you love the moment when you realise you've just become a millionaire?
That's right.
That's this moment, boys. Right, yeah. We are going to make some sweet coin out of this.
So far, Hamo and I are ready to retire. What are you two lazy bastards doing?
Yeah, is that a thing?
What?
Retiring.
Oh, right.
God, I hope so. God, I hope so.
Not in the current climate. Eventually.
No.
Once Lord Abbott rules us all with an iron fist and there's no such thing as superannuation or any kind of climate.
Yeah. Once the Illuminati take over, you'll get to enjoy retirement for 6 weeks, and then it's voluntary euthanasia time.
Voluntary euthanasia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, I don't see that as a bad thing.
Not really. 43 would probably be about the right age.
I don't turn 40 in a month.
Yeah, hang on a second. I'm 41. Well, let's make it at least 45.
Let's push it out a bit. There's stuff 45. I got to get done.
45.
40, I'm actually in a really awkward position because months, maybe a year ago, and we've brought it up many times since, I told my boss, I said the second same-sex marriage is in, I said, I'm out of here. I'm quitting my day job. I'm set. It'll be, business will triple. It'll be great. I'll be a celebrant. It'll be, I'll just quit. The second it passes. So as I passed in the ACT recently, and it's under contention from the High Court and whatnot. But I'm now a same-sex marriage celebrant. I haven't quit yet. And he hasn't brought it up. I haven't brought it up. We both know about it, though. It's just kind of...
It's an awkward conversation where you pass in the corridor and look at each other and don't really say anything. You're overthinking it, Josh. Hang on,
what are you worried about? Are you worried that he thinks that you're a liar, that you didn't quit, or maybe you're not going as well?
Yeah, I like to be a man of my word. If I say I'm going to quit, I feel like I should have quit. But then I'm thinking, well, it's not national. It's not a national same-sex marriage.
Yeah, so you've got loopholes in that quitting situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Man of your word, fucking hell. Be you've easy on yourself and break your word because you shouldn't quit.
What do you mean? Quit what? Because they pass it in Canberra? Wake up to yourself, Dad. There are still gay people in this country who can't get married.
Yes.
Yeah.
And until they can marry their dog, I'm not quitting.
You should do it in the underground. Just underground marriages for the gays.
Yes.
You should be like Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
Just go fuck it. I'm marrying you fuckers.
Down in the caverns, like a Neil Gaiman story. I know a place where we can get married. Don't say it's true. Yes, it is true. Come with me. Where are we going? We're going down into the ground.
You're not just using this as an excuse to get me to give you another blowjob, are you? Serious?
Don't ruin the musical. This was going to be a musical.
Down in the ground where all of the other free thinkers exist in Queensland because that can't happen in public.
Yeah, in the light
of day.
We'll get Elton John to write some fucking sweet tunes.
Yeah.
I'll say, Johnsy, can you fucking... go? Don't do the fucking Disney shit. Go back to your early stuff and fucking crank out some old Elton, fuckhead.
Rocket Man this shit up.
Pop musical.
Yeah.
I want you to stuff a Benny and the Jets in the chorus.
Yes.
Now let's fucking play.
I'm still standing.
That was close, guys. We just got down to 82 megs of hard drive space. We were running the wire just then.
Oh, my
free to back up. We're back recording now. We didn't lose anything, hopefully.
Wow.
Well, the computer stuttered a bit. I thought maybe if it did stutter, maybe if the recording went shit, it would be worth noting that to everyone listening. That's why we're weird.
They won't care.
We'll just come back and do it again. I think we can replicate what we've already
everything.
Done.
Everything.
Yeah, look, we haven't done anything special. This is fucking off-the-shelf podcast shit, you know?
Did you ever see the movie, I think it's Children of the Corn?
Yes.
Which has this premise, you were just talking about people dying at 43. You've seen it, have you? Yes?
Yeah, I was in it.
It freaked me out.
Yeah.
I saw it one New Year's Eve as like a 14-year-old kid.
Right,
so
yeah.
So we're over, mum and dad have gone to someone's place, we're hanging out for New Year's Eve, blah, blah, blah. The kids were sent downstairs with a stack of DVDs, and at like 10 o'clock, someone put on Children of the Corn. It freaked me out.
Great.
It's almost as bad as the Christian film that my parents dragged me along to see when I was living in Dolby in the 80s that was about this post-apocalyptic world.
You were living
world.
In stereo.
Oh, not the end of the world.
I don't know what it was called. I can't remember. I was too young.
Fire, I don't know.
But the whole premise was that Christians were being locked up and persecuted because of this whatever life it was. And the jarring image that stuck with me was there was a kid in jail that had a balloon. And there was someone else in the cell next to her that didn't quite believe in Jesus. But they had a conversation where that person became to believe in Jesus and cut to outside where the guillotine has gone down, and you look outside and see the balloon float up into the air, and you hear the mum scream like she's seen the balloon. And then the next shot after a beat is the girl, the kid, saying, "It's all right, mummy, I'm okay. He's gone to be with Jesus." The bad guys killed this dude that she was talking to. She gave him the balloon as a part of him becoming a believer in Jesus. And mum thought that they'd killed her daughter with the guillotine, because that's how everyone was all beheading stuff.
that freaked me out.
Yeah.
Where have we gone?
Just freaking me out films.
Children of the Corn, right?
Right, well, it just reminded me with the 43, because Children of Corn, everyone, once you're over 18, you had to leave the group and you walked into the corn and were never seen again.
Mm. Right.
And the whatever it was out in the corn took you.
Mm. We need to wrap up Malk's thing. Mick.
Photography.
Well, just faux professionalism.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
But not in any way related to blogging.
In all other categories except for blogging. Is it a thing, Mick? Do you get anointed? Does an anointing come upon people? You can now be a professional in this field.
I don't think there's an official anointing, but then so you just start to get paid, and then eventually you get paid enough, and you go, actually, I think I'm probably
making. So it's a transitionary thing.
That's the only way that I know that anything I've ever done on radio has been okay, just the fact that the pay packet turns up. I've never been confident in an audible product I've created, a radio or ad or voiceover or podcast. I listen to our podcast and I think that I've got nothing to offer. I really, you know, and I'm sure
glad you bring it up, Josh, because there's been some people that have provided some feedback.
No, it's funny. I got asked to do a voiceover for an ad, Seasons Living here in Brisbane. They're a retirement home and they requested my voice, apparently. And I thought, why the fuck? Like, no one's ever requested my voice. Like, sometimes I've been convenient. You know, it's like, oh, Josh is here.
Josh can do it.
Yeah, Josh can do it, and it's okay. But no. And I'm like, really? Because I did the recording, and I'm saying, like, I haven't got a good voice. So, you know, that's the only way I've ever known that if something I've done has been above average is that someone wants to pay money for it. Because they're not paying someone else to do that. They're paying me. And so I guess it's, you know, I mean, yeah. Maybe I am a radio professional, apparently. I don't know.
Getting paid.
Yeah, getting paid.
That's got a lot to do with it.
Definitely moves you out of the faux category and into the professional category.
Yeah. It's not faux when you got some sweet flow. You hear what I'm saying?
How much do you reckon your mates charge them?
Yeah.
Sorry?
How much do you reckon your mates charge them?
Oh, I honestly don't know, but my guess is, and knowing him, he is probably backing himself pretty highly.
Yeah?
I would reckon there's a 1500, probably.
Well, see, even 1500 is cheap.
That's part of the secret. Like, if you price yourself too low, people know you're faux.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But then if you, at the same time, if they know that this is not your full-time job, and you charge them $25,000, you've got no hope. So there is trying to find that middle ground of being where's, like, comedian says, yeah, I've got 5 minutes, pay me $300. That's not going to happen.
Mm.
But I'm a comedian, give me dinner, and I've got 5 minutes. Right. You've got a chance.
Yeah.
Dinner's a fair price for 5 minutes.
I wouldn't mind dinner.
Mm.
I'd be up for that. I'd churn out 5 minutes without even thinking.
Take it.
I would ad-lib 5 minutes. Yeah. I'd be so confident about that.
5 minutes of crowd work.
And then, if at the end I had a chicken schnitzel with mushroom sauce and the right amount of chips and a little bit of salad, cucumber, tomato, a bit of lettuce, maybe a little bit of carrot.
That's a win.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Happy days.
Yep. They'd say, can you do it now? It's like, sure.
That's right now.
I was ready to go.
That's right.
Because I knew I was getting a tasty dinner.
It's a good scam.
Yeah.
Welcome to life.
5 minutes of mirth for whoever it is. Like, maybe I get married. That's how I'll keep my wife happy. Oh, I don't really feel like cooking tonight. Oh, is there anything I can do? Come on, Hammer. You know what you can do. All right, here's 5 minutes. Woo! How good's life? I'm cooking dinner.
I like to pretend that that's how comedians, male comedians, or even female comedians that are married, that's how they get sex. They bank it up. You know, they give a good couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes during the day, building it up into the, into the fuck bank, I guess.
Yeah. Some mirth laced with a slight undercurrent of evil.
Sexy time.
No, evil.
Oh, just evil.
Bit of arsehole-ery.
Oh, nice.
And that just kind of makes them laugh, but makes them a little bit underconfident at the same time. And then you take advantage of that. Sorry, I've been reading that book.
I always remember something Will said ages ago. He goes, never fuck someone at your concert or a gig, sorry. Because they've seen you at your best. What was it? I think it was Will said it. Never do someone that was at your gig because they've seen you at your best. Like, it's all, you're going to go home and just be normal.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah.
Like, I'd say you were talking about Arj Barker, but I think he doesn't subscribe to that theory.
I don't think he does either.
He actually lives up to it. He lives up to it. This is my best, and my best continues for a
That's
long
right,
time.
Later for one special, two special ladies.
Yeah, good, Justin. I was good up there on stage. Wait till I get you home to bed.
Hey, hey.
Good thing, committee.
Love it.
Mick, did you want to drop anything before you end?
Look, geez, I got... all right, here is... Is an extension of the Harry Potter series going to be a thing? Is J.K. Rowling going to go back and write more Harry Potters?
Hell, she has to, right? The money's going to run out at some point.
No, everyone has their money is not going to run out anytime.
I'd have a red hot go at making sure it did. She wants to let me near it. I'll help her try.
Everyone has their George Lucas moment. Like, you know what? Everything's been good enough. And then, fuck, let's sell it. Do some more Star Wars. You know, I think everyone has that moment where they want more. Like, you know, well,
everybody wants another ivory back scratcher.
Let's get the band back together. We're getting, you know, we're back on tour.
You know, like with that world, she could easily do another story set in that world where those characters may or may not make cameos. And I think that would be I would think a smart move if she wanted to do that.
Kind of like her own fan fiction.
Just little spin-offs. Well, isn't the word that the stuff that she is writing, she's been now commissioned to write, is she's making it a prequel? So early Hogwarts, before Harry was a thing, even possibly before the Potters. Mm. Before the rise of
Tom Riddle.
Yeah, which would be an interesting world, because the whole conversation in Potter World, getting nerdy again, is that magic coexists with life, and it's only if you touch on or become involved in magic that you notice that it exists. Mm. So it's always been there, so why would it not have a life before? Yeah, there must have been some other threat in the history of magic to Voldemort. Yeah.
Some great story to tell.
Stories.
It'll definitely be a thing. I reckon it'll be a good thing.
That's the great thing about creating a universe. Like, if you can create a universe, like, you know, in your, you know, Star Wars has done it really well as well.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, Harry
Potter. Well, we say that now, and we know that 7, 8, 9 are coming, and we're all holding our breath.
Actually, is everyone flying to London to be to take the casting crawl? It probably would be a casting crawl, actually.
Aren't they filming half of it at Fox Studios again?
I don't know. There was
Star Wars.
Yeah.
No, it's all in the UK.
Yeah, there's a secret casting call that just went out. Not like this. Not doesn't say for Star Wars, but for
a show, a movie.
Yeah, you know, it's all. It's alluding to Star Wars.
Anyway, they wanted lots of different race and gender and like the mix of everything, broad spectrum, not just white middle class. Brit.
Here's a question: do you let your kid? Because my daughter's 5.
Mm.
So do I let her watch Star Wars in order of original release, or do
Original release?
Yeah,
because
you'll
ruin the
in narrative order.
You'll ruin the Empire Strikes Back moment.
Yeah,
and you don't want to ruin that.
Because that's
such an important part of the original trilogy.
Pinnacle.
You do, but if you see it from the start, it'll be like,
we knew that. Dude.
So do it the original release.
I let my son, because I've made sure he's a Star Wars fan. I beat it into him since he was.
I don't care where he stands on church or like on politics.
He's going to know all what's going on with that shit.
He's a Rastafarian, but he loves Star Wars.
Loves the Star Wars. We watched episode 4, 5, 6 and then back to 1.
Yep.
And then recently, some friends, an adult friend who had never seen Star Wars, we did 1 to 6 with him. And my son was in and out for that, because he kind of went, I'm not watching, you know, that many hours of movies end to end with your dad.
He's
get off the couch,
of
you lazy bastard. Oh, no, he was in for some of it,
yep,
but just was easily distracted and values the fact that he's a healthy child, as opposed to dad who was possibly dying of a heart attack. I'm not moving. And it was an interesting concept, because in watching it with my son, he was there when I just said, this is a pretend, movies are pretend, this is just about a story that happened a long time ago with some really cool futuristic stuff in it. And we watched it and he bought it. And to see his face connect with the characters and it just made me go, that's exactly what I felt like when I saw it for the first time. Totally there. And the revelation, the Darth Vader revelation, he loved it. He was like, no!
Yeah, right.
Brilliant. And so much so that I got him a shirt that is a big, it's Darth Vader's mask. and in the eyes are a reflection of Luke Skywalker hanging in the Bespin cloud thing, and it says at the top, spoiler alert, underneath, I am your father. It's just, he wears that shirt everywhere. But it's just, it's a captivating.
Yeah.
Captivating story.
I remember when 3 came out, and I said to my wife, you know, I didn't see it till the Sunday for, I can't remember why, but I had to wait. I saw it the day it came out. Jeez, yeah. I saw it the day
the
it came
midnight
out. I bought my ticket.
Daytime.
Yeah, the daytime.
So you weren't totally weird.
Comedian hours.
So I bought my tickets as soon. I bought my ticket as soon as it went on sale, and then I went and saw a mate who was a pot smoker and got a butt off him so that I could roll a joint and like smoke a joint before I go in to watch it,
just to enhance the whole experience.
And then my wife rings me up that day, and she says she was working at a cafe, and she says, "Oh, my boss has made this," and I used to always go in, and her boss would be like, "Oh, I'll try this. I'm thinking about putting this on the menu and stuff like that." And, you know, yep.
Mm.
And she goes, "Oh, he's made some gnocchi. He wants you to come down and have dinner." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You know that I'm going to see Star Wars at 7 o'clock." And she goes, "Yeah, but you know," and I'm like, "No." And then she rang me back. She goes, "Oh, he'll just cook the dinner earlier. Can you come down?" So then I'm sitting there having dinner, and all I'm going, I've got this joint burning a hole in my pocket. The knocky's a bit late, you know, it's not ready. I'm like, fucking hell, I'm starting to run. And his cafe is just around the corner from the cinema. And I'm like, right, listen, this is happening. So at 5 to 7, if I've eaten one bite or no bites or whatever,
I'm
just
gone.
Walking around to the cinema. And then so anyway, at 5 to 7, I've just walked out, lit the joint up at the front door of his shop, and just power walked around to the cinema.
You
walked upstairs into the cinema, like grabbed a drink and a chalk top. And as I'm walking in, the usher has just gone, "Mate, you've got the last seat. It's the very front row in the middle." And so I've walked down and very front row, and I've just as I sat down, this joint went took off, and then a long time ago in a galaxy far away, and I've just got and then there's this like 15-year-old kid next to me. I go, "Dude, how good is this?" And this kid just like
don't hurt
just
me.
Goes, "Yeah, man."
Star Wars fan, obviously. Order of films as far as your favourite to least favourite.
Maybe. Hang on, what's from top to bottom?
Whichever way you want to do it, you can do least to favourite.
I'll do top, yep. Top to bottom. So I'll go 4, 3. I'll go Empire
5,
A New Hope
4,
Raiders. No, of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
No, Return of the Jedi.
6.
That's how bad I think the rest of the movies are. I just start listing Indiana Jones movies. And then the third one.
Yep.
And then the first one. And then the second one.
Mm.
The second one was diabolical. It was so boring.
What was the second one again?
They get fucking
exactly.
Married.
It's just really boring.
In secret.
Oh, right, yes.
It's basically a conversation about trade politics.
Yeah.
The entire second film. Who cared?
I was stoned every time I watched them. The last 3.
Devastating how boring it is. Like, that's the worst thing anything can be.
Your order? Nick?
Mine would be 5, 6, 4, 3.
Ooh, controversial.
1, 2.
You're pro Ewok.
Yeah, I like Return of the Jedi more than A New Hope.
Because there was this huge controversy.
But it's very close.
Yeah, yeah. Close. Well, the huge controversy when Return of the Jedi came out, that the Ewoks were only in the story as a tie-in for like merchandising stuff. Everyone's, "Oh, George Lucas, what are you doing to our stories? Why are the cute, fun, cuddly things in there? It's just to get the kids."
Yeah.
No shit. Like, I don't... They were okay as a plot device, but I don't see an issue in that context, given that the entire... That story, those stories weren't written to exist for, you know, the 42-year-old white male that enjoys a thinking film. You know, these are fun, enjoyable science fiction tales that are meant to engage on a number of levels with a bunch of people.
Cute creatures have to be there somewhere. Like, there's obviously a spectrum, and you've got Jabba the Hutt and the Sarlacc at one end of the spectrum, and you've got the Ewoks at the other end of the spectrum.
I didn't like it, even as a kid. I didn't like it.
You're not pro Ewok?
No, because the Stormtroopers were, you know, cool and scary until the third film.
Yeah, a bit bumbling, weren't
they? But then they're suddenly a bit wee. you know? It's like...
Yeah, that final battle was a bit... What are you doing? Get back from the ships.
Yeah, like if that was Wookiees leaping down and cracking heads, you go, savagery versus military. But there's also Han Solo as well. Like, Han Solo is so cool in the first two films. And in the third film, he's a little bit like, Baba, where? You know, and it's just... You know, they should have killed off Han Solo. It would have been such a good...
Would have been huge.
That would have been
should have
awesome.
Killed him off.
Yeah.
In the carbonite, you reckon?
No. Doing something heroic. Something
to but
that would have today. that would have been the hero's journey for him.
Yeah.
For him to, you know, be the guy that doesn't care, who suddenly does care, and then, you know, puts his life on the line to make sure that everything occurs. It's perfect
to save some Ewoks.
Do you have a favorite order, Josh?
Probably 4, 5, 6, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3. Yeah.
I rate the third film pretty highly, in that I put it above Return of the Jedi, just simply because it's the culmination of it's the end of that trilogy where it's the dark end, right? There's like, for the same reason that Empire Strikes Back is dark and the bad guys win, so therefore the third one's big. All of the Jedi get massacred. Yoda goes off to hide. Obi-Wan Kenobi goes off to live in the deserts of Tatooine. Everything goes to shit for the good guys. And it has to go to shit, otherwise we don't get the next films. Just like everything has to go to shit in 5 for the good guys. Otherwise nothing in Return of the Jedi could even start to be. That is an excellent rounding out. I love the fact that they're talking about Boba Fett's coming back for 7.
All right. Can I have him punch his way out of the Sarlacc?
Yeah, and apparently...
Oh, he wound up in the Sarlacc, didn't he?
Yeah, because allegedly the word from Lucas was that in one of the drafts of Return of the Jedi, you see him claw his way out again.
Right.
But what they're saying is that it's actually quite in the canon of Star Wars, it's entirely possible. He's in full armor. Mm. He's got all his weapons. Yeah. And it was 1,000 years to be digested in the pit of the Sarlacc?
Mm.
Hell yeah, that guy could get out of that shit.
He'd get out.
I feel like I've actually got to reset my Star Wars. Like,
he could actually just sit in there.
I'm a bit rusty.
Didn't his rocket pack malfunction?
He got knocked by Han. Basically, it misfired, which caused him to bang onto the thing and fall in the pit. Out he comes.
He's only just got to get in there and fix that up, and he could shoot straight out.
Yeah. Just.
The only time you'd ever be happy to have that term used, though. You know what I mean? It's the only time you'd ever say, and then I just had to shoot right out and go, no, it was all right, actually.
I was pleased.
This has been the Thing Committee. Mog?
I feel like I should have a relaxing cigarette or some form of smoking thing. Just to come down off it.
It's good. I'm sure we can fix that with something.
I'm sure we can.
maybe a flaming Ewok. A flaming Ewok into a pipe and smoke that little fucker.
Could you imagine an Ewok bong?
Yeah, you'd be off your head and you'd be looking at people and seeing them as C-3PO and going, oh my God, it's God.
It would be the only way you would understand what the hell those damn things said.
Chopping them up's the hard bit.
Yub nub.
Fluff everywhere. Fluff everywhere.
You have to
fluff
shave everywhere. Them down first, right? I think we understand that.
Yeah, I know, but you still get fluff.
Mick, would you like anyone to follow you on Twitter, like something on Facebook? Would you like
If you're Twitter enabled, you can follow me at Mick Nevin.
Now, just to clarify, it's N-E-V-E-N.
That's correct. Yeah. It's palindrome.
Not the N. Oh, it is too.
How lucky are you?
No.
Wow.
No, I love palindrome.
Nevin Kim backwards.
How cool are palindromes? It's not many.
I'm Adam. Think about that.
At McNevin.
At McNevin. That'll do.
You on the book?
Hey.
Book, website. Yeah. Are you on the book, Facebook?
Facebook, McNevin Comedian. Website, mcnevin.com.au, which is not operative at the moment, but whatever.
Something. It's a place. It's a placeholder. They can bookmark it in their life.
That's right. That's about it. Look out for me at a comedy club near you.
Oh, good work. Hamo, what do you go? What's pimping for you? What do you want to push?
All right, let's have a think.
What am I allowed to talk about now?
Let's get an Indiegogo campaign going. All right.
Called the Hunt for the Bundy Bum Bear.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was an idea for a TV show we came up with, which is, you know, the Bundy Bear advert, which everyone sees and thinks is adorable. But what nobody realises, in Bundaberg, there's this big, old, grey gay guy who bums you if you drink Bundy. And it's actually, you know how they refer to them as bears.
Mm.
And so it's actually something that's real that's got them all fucked up. But the rest of the nation's turned it into this funny advert. They see the advert and they get flinches. And then someone comes in from out of town and it's like, you should, have you ever had a Bundy before? No. If that's your first Bundy, you should not drink it. Why? Yeah. Well, the bumming Bundy bear will come and get you. And
why
it's
does
like,
no one in town in the town of Bundaberg drink Bundaberg rum?
Yeah, so everyone's going like,
we can't talk about it.
The young guy's going, oh, whatever, mate, and he drinks it, and then you're talking, oh, well, I hope it's all right. Turn back, he's not there, and then you can see scratch marks along the floor. He's taken. And he's been bummed.
The next morning, his ute with the seven lights across the top, they're all smashed.
They're all smashed.
Yeah, yeah. The what do you call it? The
mud
steer.
Flaps have been ripped off.
Yeah, the steer on the back windows.
The aerials are all bent down sideways.
Yeah.
The Bundy Bum Bear.
What we're pitching TV show it is, I just had one on the way here, actually. Obviously, Sherlock is something that's being belted out in every movie, TV. Like, everyone's having to go at Sherlock recently. New idea for a Sherlock TV show, but it's not a full TV show. It's more of a short, maybe an ABC 2 short, maybe it's a YouTube clip, and it's called
a sketch.
Something like that. So it's called No Shit Sherlock, and so it's the full, like, it's the normal intro. You know, oh, we need your help. Yeah, we go and look. Sherlock turns up. Goes, it was him, and it ends.
Oh right. So yeah, every episode only takes
No Shit years. Sherlock.
Yeah, right.
I actually thought it was going to be that they go ask for Sherlock for help, and he doesn't give a shit.
What about, I thought it was going to be a constipated shit.
Yeah.
Got a crossover of House and Sherlock?
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
He's like, a tortured soul.
Have this brand, Sherlock. No, thanks. I'm busy solving mysteries.
Yeah.
That's his superpower.
Yeah. If he shits, he can't work things out. He loses all deductive power. And so then he's going up against this master criminal who has a pack of laxatives.
Yeah.
And gets it in. You know, you think you have me now, Sherlock, but already you can feel your bowels twitching, can't you? You've come up against one genius that
Moriarty's
you aren't a match
to get
for.
To drink prune juice.
Yeah.
The guy's lair has a really, really low bass note just permanently playing that just shakes you.
Moriarty works for Metamucil.
That's his front.
That's his front.
And Watson keeps on accidentally taking the laxative trap. So.
Yeah. So Watson's constantly just shitting.
Oh, sorry, Sherlock, I've got to go.
Fucking Moriarty.
Sherlock? Oh, Watson.
So what are you doing, Hammer?
Well, I'm going to be working on this. these are some great ideas. You heard it here first. I have a pilot coming up on the Comedy Channel on the 6th of December.
Excellent.
That's called Stand Up, Sit Down. It's me interviewing two comedians. And I aim low with the pilot. I thought if you aim low, then it gives you plenty of room to, you know, get bigger and better stars on. So we're opening with Will Anderson and Rogue. And
who?
Oh, look, one's an up-and-coming TV host.
Really talented young kids.
Yeah.
Making a go of things.
Yeah. And Will Anderson will be the next Charlie Pickering.
Yep, excellent.
So he's up-and-coming, yeah. So we have that coming up. And what else? I've been blogging about every gig that I do this year.
Excellent.
You can read
reading.
That at justinhamilton.com.au if you want to see how weird a year can be, I guess. It can be kind of weird and it's all over the place. I have the podcast, Can You Take This Photo, Please, where I interview comedians, etc., blah, blah, blah. If you're in Sydney, I'm performing a solo show on the 29th of November at the Comedy Store. You can get tickets through that. And if you're in Melbourne, The Shelf is back from the 18th of November. You can get tickets for that at thetoffintown.com.
I can highly recommend Can You Take This Photo, Please? It's always an excellent... Oh,
thank you.
An engaging conversation with comedians that has the simplest premise, but where that conversation hour ends up can be... It naturally vastly different for each person, but quite often takes turns that are unexpected.
Learning
about them and their career and what they've done or who they are. And it's amazing.
I feel like I learn new stuff every episode. I'm interviewing Rod Quantock when I get back.
Excellent.
So I'm pretty pumped about
Australia, that. Australia, you are standing in it.
He's coming up to his 45th year as a performer. He's doing a show in a couple of weeks, which is pretty cool.
Is it still
Sorry, going? I got all Marc Maron at the end then.
That's all right. Worst things can happen.
And how are your cats?
Quite ironically, I just had to delete Sherlock from my hard drive to get enough space to finish recording this. But we're good. Yeah, we can go for another 3 hours now, which is good.
Because so, Sherlock's gone.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry for wrapping up so early. No, seriously. Thank you for joining us, boys.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. Josh, where can people find you on the internet?
Just follow me on at Joshua Withers. But yeah, you probably heard that before. There's also, heck, in case no one knows, I'm a celebrant. So yeah, marriedbyjosh.com. I highly recommend that.
And you're married to a lady called Brit.
Yeah. Just keeping those things rolling through the podcast.
Who's having an affair with another woman at a Beyonce concert?
Believes in the Brit Illuminati. Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if she was in the Illuminati and this is her way of disguising that, you know?
Conspiracy.
That's smart.
I'm fucking onto her.
I'm at Mogs TV Talk on Twitter. You can read me at MogsTVTalk.com. You can also get my podcast, other than The Think Committee, which is always a joy, not only, Josh, to record, but to be a part of.
Oh, that's lovely. See you soon.
You have just heard an unpopular podcast. Find more unpopular podcasts at unpopular.com.au.